The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Five one 51551 is the text number. It's 27 minutes past nine. And I'm joined now by two people I've had the pleasure of meeting before. One is 13 years old. She's Sarah Corbett Lynch. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. Tell everyone what you're wearing as a jumper today, or whatever that is.
I'm wearing a reindeer jumper.
And it is a gorgeous reindeer jumper. You're really getting into the spirit of things here. And your aunt Tracy is with you as well this morning. And you're both very welcome to the programme. We've met before on the Late Late Show not too long ago.
Good morning.
And thank you for coming in to see us today. I think, yeah, we're joyfully celebrating the launch of a new book, isn't that it?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that, Sarah.
Well, the book is about my experiences in life, and it's really through my characters. Through Noodle, when she loses her dad during the story, she's lost and she's scared and she doesn't really know what to do, and her family just come in and they're always there for her. And I really hope that it reaches other people and it helps them.
There's a lot of you in this book, isn't
yeah.
there? Like, Noodle isn't just a random character. And the book is a beautiful presentation, I have to say. I have it here in front of me. Let's talk a little bit about where you're coming from, about your birth mom and your dad, and give us a little sense of that.
Well, my birth mom died when I was 12 weeks old, so I moved to America with my dad and my brother.
And what happened to your mom?
She died of an asthma attack.
And was she very young?
Yeah, she was 31.
God, that's desperate.
And then we moved to America to mm-hmm. start a new life, and when I was 8 and my brother was 10, my dad suddenly died, and then we had to move back to Ireland. And at first it was really hard because a lot of people didn't see my family as a real family, because we weren't blood family.
Yeah.
And it really kind of, that was the hardest thing for me, because it's not really about blood to me, it's more about love. So,
well, that makes a lot of sense, and let's develop that thought process in a moment. But I suppose, Tracy, for people at home, you might put into context when Sarah talks about her dad, because everyone listening will know, of course, who we're talking about. But would you tell us about that?
Yeah, Jason was murdered back in 2015, and for Jack and Sarah, they were literally just uprooted out of their life in North Carolina, and came back to live with us in Ireland. And it was a huge transition for both of them, not just dealing with grief, but obviously the change in losing their friends and neighbourhood and community in yeah. North Carolina, to transitioning into a new community, a new school.
And because of the awfulness of the way that you lost your father, you had the eyes of the nation on your story as well. So you had to go through, I think, that as well, everyone watching you, particularly as adults, but you protected the kids, I think, very well at the time.
Indeed. You know, the world is so open now in terms of social media and that yeah. as well. So our focus was on Jack and Sarah and our other two children, to try and protect them as much as we possibly could.
Yes.
We had, you know, a wealth of support from Limerick, and indeed from Ireland and North Carolina as well, which really provided that comfort and blanket for us as well. So,
and then you talk about this word blended family. You now have a bumper family, don't you? When you think of your life, Tracy, you were just going along fine and you loved your niece and nephew in America. And the next thing you know, out they come saying, we're moving in here. So put a couple more spuds in the pot there.
We were actually looking at a retirement home in France.
We were at
the time when we found out we were in France. Yeah.
Get
so
away.
We were planning our future retirement and that. But, you know, we've got these two amazing kids
yeah.
and a big family and new friends.
You've kids of your own, don't
we have,
you?
Yeah, we have Dean, who's 28. He's recently got engaged.
Congratulations.
To Kelly. So we have another member coming into the family.
Holy smoke.
Adam is 18. He's just started college.
And now you have
two
younger.
Jack is 15 and Sarah's yeah. 13.
Well, I've met you guys, and I couldn't think of more beautiful children to have included in the family now. Which is great. And how did it feel? I mean, you had to put up with and go through the ordeal of losing your dad in such a public way. You were how old at the time, Sarah?
I was 8.
Were you able to comprehend or understand any of it? Or have you tried to since, or have you tried to just bury it all together?
Well, I didn't understand it at the time, but I knew that if I wanted to know something, I could just ask Tracy and David. but I didn't really want to know all the details, so I just left it till I was a bit older, and then I would start asking questions, and really it just really helped to be able to write the book and put my feelings out there in different ways.
Because talking about something as horrible as that is really liberating, I think. It's good for your soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like eating a good meal. You feel better afterwards because it's kind of, it would eat you up otherwise, wouldn't it? And
yeah.
So you obviously got the right approach to it. The Toy Show Tomorrow, can I just say, is about family. And
yes.
The whole idea of the Toy Show Tomorrow is celebrating families of every shape and size. I call them functional families, dysfunctional families, blended families. I'm so glad that you brought it up because it's about that. Everyone on the couch together, regardless of where they come from, because families are based not on blood, as you rightly said, beautifully said, but on love. I'll be quoting that all day today. And when you arrive into the new house, and as Tracy says, you're uprooted from everything you knew, and quite suddenly, did you adjust all right when you got back to home?
I adjusted a lot quicker than I thought I would.
Did you?
I thought it'd be a lot harder, but everybody was just so welcoming. I had some of my friends calling to the door saying, do you want to come outside and play with us? So I didn't feel lonely or anything because I had everybody around me.
You had a real Irish family gathered around you. And in terms of your extracurricular activities, and we'll talk about the book in a second because they're all tied in. I think I was nearly late for work because I was reading all about your extracurricular activities. Tell us about the kind of things you do. I love your interest in the world. Can you share with me that?
I like to sing, act and dance, and obviously write.
obviously.
And I do like little shows in my estate with my friends. So we all like put up dances and we ask, everybody kind of comes around and we all put on music and we do little dances together. So it's really lovely to all be together.
Yeah. And you also do other kind of things beyond that, do you?
I go to an acting school.
Yeah.
And we put on a show every year. I volunteer every year for the Team Limerick cleanup in Tate House. And the last 2 years we've done a trash bashing, so we all put together clothes made out of like rubbish and everything.
Yeah.
And we walk the catwalk, and people won prizes, and it's always really fun because everybody's in there working together.
You got a Garda Award recently for volunteering for with several charity organisations.
Yes.
Okay, you need to run for political office when you're 18 because you're a community activist, and it's great that you're interested and involved in the world, which is lovely. Why did you decide, I want to write this book? Who influenced you? Who inspired you? What stories made you think, I'd like to do something?
Well, I had heard about a few different stories. I heard about a woman who died of cancer, and her kids had, they lost their mom.
Was that Emma? Emma Vic Mahuna?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Was, yeah.
And it was, I thought that was really pushed me to think about other people as well, because I had already started writing the books, and I was actually started writing the book outside one of my friend's house, waiting for her to come outside. And I didn't think that this would ever come out of it, but in the last like year or so, I really just pushed for it because I really wanted to help other people and to help other children so they felt less lonely.
And how can you make another child feel less lonely? I mean, I met a man and his son in a shop recently, and the boy was probably about 7, and the dad was bereft because the dad's wife had died, and it was coming up to Christmas, and there was just this sense of sadness, and two gorgeous people, the dad and his son, and I didn't know what to do. I felt quite helpless because I wanted to make the son smile and happy, and I wasn't sure how I'd do that. Can you share with us what can we as adults do to make life a little easier for people who find themselves in that situation?
Well, for me anyways, I had my parents around me, and it's really helpful if you just cry about it, because it's easy, because it like gets a load lifted off you if you just cry.
Sure.
And everybody has their thing. Like mine was singing and writing, and it just helped me to express myself in ways I couldn't do while I was speaking.
Yes.
And it really helped me to just, like, if I needed to sing, I could sing very loud and I wouldn't sound like I was screaming.
Sure.
So it
really
helped
me.
Think
you were screaming and disguising it as singing?
Yeah.
I don't know how if I think that's brilliant or sad.
It's brilliant.
It's both.
Because
it's both.
It's both because it in a way it helps you to just like let it all go.
Yeah.
Instead of bottling it all up and then
what's
it
the best
exploding.
Song to get a good cry out of you with a scream?
Mine is Jar of Hearts.
Jar of Hearts, the Christina Perry song.
She sings
that's a sad song.
Yeah, I love that song.
You loved that song, so you let it all out.
Yeah.
Tell me your favourite memories of hanging out with your dad.
My favourite memories are one of them, which I based the name of the book on, the Booga Wooga series. My dad used to come downstairs every morning, and he used to, whenever I came down, he used to go, Booga Wooga Wooga. And it always put a smile on your face, and it started the day, like, just with everybody had a smile on their face, and going to school, it was just great. And one time he came up to my room when I was just before I went to bed, and I was playing the guitar. I can't play the guitar, it was awful, but he would listen to it anyways.
That's a dad's job.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And I was singing a song by Miranda Lambert called The House That Built Me, and he came in and he loved that song and he started singing it with me, so from then on that was our song and we always sang it really loudly.
And when do you miss him most?
I miss him a lot during like holidays and at his anniversary, but it's a good missing him because I have his memories and I always feel close to him, so it's good because I remember him. And it's always good because we get to talk about memories and everything, all of us together.
Tracy, Sarah does things like today. Yeah. She's wearing her Christmas jumper today, and we spent the last Christmas together, all of us, that Jason was alive, and we would go to the Panto.
Yeah.
And her dad bought her this, so she wears that every year. And I think it's the little things that bring them back into our everyday lives as well.
Well, you know, you'll never lose that jacket, even if you grow a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing to have.
Yeah.
So when I gave you a little hug earlier on, you felt a closeness. You know, you feel it closer to your father when you're wearing it. And do you talk to your dad? Do you have conversations with him?
Whenever we're at the graveyard, I always do. And before I go to bed, I do as well. And I just say what happened during my day. And if I have a problem, I just talk to them about it.
Yeah. And do you feel he's listening?
Yeah, definitely.
It's lovely.
He always sends his little signs like the white butterflies.
Does he?
Yeah, whenever we're at the graveyard, there's two white butterflies every single time.
And you think that's him saying, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Minding you from behind. Do you think he's with your mum now?
Yeah, definitely.
Which would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
She was too young to go. It's a lot to take on board, I think. I mean, Tracy, you're the aunt, but you're kind of the mum now.
Absolutely.
How do you what we call you at home now? Are we calling you mum, auntie,
well,
just
lots
Tracy?
Of different. It depends if they're happy with me or not. So I'm mum, you know, to Sarah and Jack and Adam and Dean and to their friends, and it might be I'll ask mum and then Tracy, can I, you know, so it kind of changes. It's just very natural and very organic. So it's whatever everybody is comfortable with. So
when do you feel that Sarah needs to be minded the most?
I think she's like, Sarah is just amazing and so inspiring and so creative and so mature. But I think moments when she wants to go and, you know, and share her story to help other kids, and it's wonderful. But for me as a mom and a parent, it's trying to protect them from the world as well, you know.
Of course, the world is kind of bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's
but
beautiful
it's,
and bonkers at the same time. You say now, Sarah, you have two dads, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I have David, obviously, and I have my dad, and I always feel like I got to do the father-daughter dance at your vow renewal with David, and I've always wanted to do one of them, and it's just really lovely to have everybody around, and I just feel very at home when I'm around everybody, because we have such a big family that when everybody's together, you just feel so loved, and everybody, it's really lovely.
It's a great way to be. It's a great way to be. And what's the dream? You're 13 now. What would you like? Do you know what you want to do? Apart from run for office, obviously.
I would love to be an actor.
You would?
Yeah, so I've been doing acting classes, and I have my showreel on my website, and I just really want to do acting. It's my passion.
You're determined to make that happen. I suspect you're going to be an excellent actor in due course. But in the meantime, congratulations on the book Noodle Loses Dad. I think it's a really beautiful presentation, and it's from the Booga Wooga series by Sarah Corbett Lynch. Thank you for coming to see us, Tracy. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you very much, Ryan, both for coming in to see us
today. Have a lovely Christmas. Tell Jack I said hi. And we'll see you again soon, I've no doubt.
I will. Merry Christmas.
Same to you and the family, to your enormous family. Enormous, blended, beautiful family. All right, it's 18 minutes to 10.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
9:43, a lot of love and respect for our guest Sarah this morning. She has achieved, says a text, more in 13 years than I have in three times her age. If the toy show delivers half as much joy as listening to Sarah does, then it will be a huge success. She is already a national treasure. What a nice thing to say. If you want to meet Sarah, go along to O'Mahony's bookshop where the book will be given its full and official launch, which I think will be a great day out. A great bookshop, great book, great person. So that'll be a nice thing to do. The dates for that show, go to sarahcorbettlynch.com for details on that. And still more comes in to say, spent many summers, glorious summers with Sarah's mam, Mags and her siblings in Mount Mellick. And I know Margaret would be so proud of Sarah. What an amazing young lady. Good luck and best wishes. And another from John says, my God, what a wonderful girl. Not only has she endured so much in her short life, but she's risen above it and thrived. And then she puts her energy into helping others in a similar situation. And, you know, people can overuse the word inspirational, but if it was ever justified, it's now. So go for it. She truly is that. Great start to the to a day. Thank you and all the best to her and her wonderful family. Margaret says the season of goodwill is alive and well in town. My grandchildren on Tuesday, I was with, I presume you mean, unfortunately, my purse was stolen. And I went into Milano in Temple Street for a meal and had a few phone calls to make to cancel my bank cards. The manager realised something was wrong. When I went to pay, he handed me a note saying, this meal is on us. Well, that is what it's about. Well done. Ryan, I've been reading about Sarah's book, says Samantha in Dublin, in the papers today. I look forward to buying it and truly hope it will be a Christmas bestseller. Wishing Noodle and Sarah and the family every good thing this Christmas. And what a wonderful girl, says another. I wish her and Jack well. They deserve lots of special things for sure. And Dave in Santry says, what a beautiful girl Sarah is. After what she's been through, and she couldn't have asked for anyone better to take over than Tracy and her lovely family. And another says, I'm smiling through the tears listening to beautiful, inspirational Sarah and her mother. May she have a wonderful life. Well, she's having it so far, which is great.